Now, Minister Dennis Nocteney is set to address Cabinet today with an update on the National Broadband Plan. So what can we expect from the Minister? Well, there is a development, and our technology correspondent Jess Kelly is with me now. Jess, good morning.
Good morning.
So, there's an interesting development, and I've been reading about it. Some 300,000 homes across the country are likely to get fibre quickly.
They are, and that is because they're actually being taken out of the equation of the National Broadband Plan. So, as it stands, up until Dennis Nocteney speaks to Cabinet, the idea is that some 800,000 homes will receive broadband under the National Broadband Plan. So, this is a state co-funded project that will deliver broadband to rural homes. What has been announced, or what is going to be announced, is that the government has done a deal and reached an agreement with AIR to deliver broadband to some 300,000 homes outside of the National Broadband Plan. So this is going to be a commercial project for AIR to do.
And has that not been tendered for publicly?
No.
So the National Broadband Plan is where anyone who wants to have a go. And there are, obviously, AIR is one, and so, Ciro, which is the ESB, and Vodafone.
Yeah. And then eNet. So initially there was 10 companies expressed interest in being involved in the bidding process, and they put forward their suggestions and their plan for this rollout. It was then shortlisted to those three that you've just listed there.
And they're being very careful because of EU rules and so on with this process. That's why there was a delay. And I think the rural deputies, the independent rural deputies, were brought in and they had a chat, and everything was explained to them, perhaps under the last minister, Alex White.
Right, yeah.
And they accepted that there would be a delay, all the better to speed it up in the end so there'd be no challenges.
Yes, and now it seems that we will have challenges. So it seems that by reaching this agreement between, by the government and AIR reaching this agreement regarding the 300,000 homes, which have been described as the low-hanging fruit of the National Broadband Plan.
So you could have quick successes with these 300,000 homes.
You get them in very quickly.
So when you're asked, suppose you're one of the others, or indeed AIR, and they ask you how you've done, and you say, well, in the first year we've done 300,000 homes.
And you get a
gold
star.
Everyone cheers, yeah.
Absolutely.
But if the 300 are taken out, what are the other 500,000 homes like?
These are the ones that are the hardest ones to get, because the issue with the broadband is that, you know, when you're going into large cities and to towns, it all kind of comes in on one nice little straight line, and it's very easy to do.
Yeah.
The issue arises when you're trying to reach the home in the most rural part of Kerry that needs its broadband but isn't on the main line.
And there will be houses that will not get it in the end.
I mean,
as there are houses that cannot receive broadcast television or radio because of their location, some will never get it except by satellite.
Exactly. And again, as we've covered on this programme in the past, satellite broadband isn't the most reliable. But this does pose a problem. And the government are kind of, Dennis Nocteney is set to sort of flag the potential risk for legal cases. Number one, from the other two bidders. Secondly, then, from those who were unsuccessful, the other seven who were unsuccessful in the initial part of the bidding process. And then again, from those who weren't involved in the initial bidding process, but now feel they could do the job on the 500,000 homes versus 800,000 homes. So it's a little bit of a headache, because it's almost like moving the goalposts ever so slightly.
And it doesn't mean that in the end, with the three preferred bidders for the remaining 500,000 homes, that AIR mightn't get some of those as well.
Absolutely.
Or all of them.
Exactly. And so it's just, it kind of feels like it's another twist and turn in the NBP struggle. So hopefully I'm heading down to the Dáil later on to hear what Dennis Nocteney has to say. So we'll have an update for that on newstalk.com throughout the day.
Now, subscription TV on Twitter. What is that all about?
This is something that I read this morning, and it got me excited straight away, because as we know, traditional media is trying to grapple with how to, I suppose, police streaming, pirating, all of the different struggles. Yesterday, for example, we heard at the Irish Commercial Court rule in favour of the Motion Picture Association, which will force internet service providers to block access to three streaming services. So you'll no longer be able to pirate films and TV shows on these three services.
What someone told me, I don't know whether this is true, that if you stream something but don't download it, that it's not a crime. Is that the case?
Oh, you see, it's such a grey area.
Because you're watching it moment by moment and you don't own it, you don't keep it, it's not in your pocket, but you have enjoyed it.
The argument against that, and the one which was presented by the Motion Picture Association, was that the sole purpose of sites that pirate content and host content for streaming is to infringe copyright. So like the copyright would state this is not for, you know,
I mean, if I go to the movies, I don't have the movie going home in my pocket.
Exactly.
I've watched it, I've enjoyed it, so I paid for it.
Exactly, you've paid for it. But in an attempt to try and, you know, address the issue of streaming content illegally and in that grey area head on, Twitter is said to be in talks with the likes of Sky and BT to stream live TV within your Twitter feed. So for
that you must have an account, I presume.
Exactly. So say, for example, if you have a subscription to Sky Sports and you like watching the matches, but you also tend to live tweet them, instead of having two sets on the go, what you can do is, what's being proposed is that you would be able to log into your Twitter with your Sky subscription account details, and you will have half of your screen streaming the live match and the other half allowing you to interact with your followers, send tweets, retweets, that kind of thing. Now, there's been precedent with this because
why don't you just sit back, eat your popcorn and watch the match?
It's not the same. You need to live tweet. You need to engage. But Twitter did a deal last year around the time of Wimbledon with ESPN, whereby, again, tennis fans could watch Wimbledon within their Twitter feed. And I just think at the time when, you know, the discussion is going on about what's next for our TV license, all that kind of stuff, it's an interesting discussion to have to try and reimagine how we consume live television. Because, you know, The Late Late Show, for example, very few people watch that without live tweeting it or, you know, texting it or Facebooking something about it. It's a great example of how an Irish TV show could embrace a new method of thinking when it comes to this sort of technology. So it's still in the processing stage.
But it may happen. It may happen soon.
Hopefully it will.
All right. Now, you've handed me an absolutely lovely phone. It's the HTC Uplay.
Yes, I knew you'd like it the second I gave it to you.
The feeling of it. I mean, I know nothing about how well it performs, but I just like the feeling of it in my hand.
This is a phone that HTC are trying to sort of kind of reimagine their brand a little bit. They've gotten rid of, for a long time, there was almost a gunmetal feel to the back of the HTC phone. It didn't sit in the hand as nice. It was a little bit heavy. They've kind of tried to rebuild the brand. They've changed the logo, all that kind of stuff. But the phone that you have in your hand now is one of their mid-range phones. So to buy this outright on the Three network, it's 449. And I just think it's a beautiful phone. There's no denying it's a beautiful phone. But I can't help but be disappointed by HTC's performance once again. They've done very clever things, like they've put on their artificial intelligence learning system. So the idea is that if it knows that you are planning to go for dinner with friends on Saturday night at 7 p.m, it'll send you a reminder at 5 p.m. to charge your phone to make sure your battery will last the entire day. It'll send you reminders about appointments. It'll prioritise what you see from the different notifications that are coming in. All of that sounds great. But to go back to the very basic thing that I want a phone to do, which is to allow me to do complete multiple tasks within a short succession of time. So I am, as we've said many times, a heavy user of my phone. So say, for example, when I was using this phone over the weekend, I was checking emails, I was tweeting, I was Instagramming, I was trying to take photographs. And I just found ever so slightly, there was just a little bit of a lag when jumping from
but
app to
app. The processor's powerful enough, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. Internally.
So could it be addressed by a software upgrade?
It may be that case. It runs, the version that I'm running at the moment is Android 6.0. So it's running Android Marshmallow. And I don't know. I just found that HTC, when it comes to performance, the last few phones have kind of left me a bit disappointed. And I wanted this to be different. It has 3 gigs of RAM. It has a powerful processor. Internally, there's 32 gigs of storage, which you can increase. Also, there's a 2,500 milliamp battery, which is far inferior to what other phones have. You know, the S8 that we saw being released last week has a 3000 milliamp battery. So I suppose you are making some compromises along the way. Worth pointing out, there's no headphone jack as well, which annoyed me immensely.
Yeah. Okay, and that's one of the points of the S8 I saw.
There is a jack.
This email thing, there is a jack. They made a point of saying there is a jack.
You wouldn't think it's annoying, but I can't tell you the number of times over the weekend I went to plug in my normal headphones and they just wouldn't go, so I had to find the ones with the connector.
A couple of things. Laying fibre for broadband in rural Ireland is ridiculous. I've been using DigiWeb satellite for 15 years in Donegal. It's fast and is always on.
It purely depends on where you are. When we went out and did our broadband series last year, we went to Kildare, we went to Galway, Galway, we went to Mayo, and in each of those counties, people had different stories to tell about satellite broadband providers. One woman I remember telling me, she lived in Calverstown, that when the trees were in bloom, it knocked her satellite off. So it's very temperamental. I think if you live in a good area and it works for you, you're so lucky. Yeah. But there's certain areas where it's just not right.
Another one, why would anyone watch television through Twitter on Facebook? Absolute madness. Well, I was watching, I just went onto Netflix on my phone, mm-hmm. and then I used the screen mirroring Samsung phone to Samsung TV, and I got Netflix on the telly.
That's what I do. I have a Chromecast. I don't have a TV provider at all. I have a €40 Chromecast that I plug into the back of my TV. I can stream Netflix, YouTube, whatever I want.
My favourite question, Anne in Dublin says, can the tech goddess recommend a mid-range phone with FM radio? All the other stuff is gravy as far as I'm concerned.
That's a very Pat Kenny question. I think he texts that in himself under the table. It's a big issue. It is a big issue.
Well, Sony still have FM radio, I think.
They do, on certain models. I'm not sure on all of their models. The model that caught my attention, and we reviewed it last year, but I don't think it's available right now, is the Moto G phones. So let me go and check out if their latest one, because they did announce a G5 a few weeks ago. So let me double check if it has FM radio, and I'll give you a shout out.
I mean, there
show.
Is an assumption that everyone is going to listen offline, you know, using their
podcasts or
free data or lots of gigs of data to listen to radio offline. But it's sometimes problematic unless you have a very good
4G. It's not as consistent as it should be at all. But let me double check that and I will let you know.
All right, Jess Kelly, thank you very much.